afternoon, and hello, and welcome to another installation of the podcast, The Grace Hour. We're coming to you live from Baltimore, Maryland. We are a Christian program that takes a daily dive into the Word of God to address challenges in our life in a very practical way by faith. My name is Pastor Rinaldo Brown. I'm in studio with Pastor Stephen Schiavelli, and we've been talking about all this week prayer. Here at our campus on 6025 Moravia Park Drive, we've been talking about prayer. It's been prayer week. We've had prayer three times a day, 8 to 10 in the morning, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, including today. And also tonight, we're going to also have prayer from 8 to 10 here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Come on down and pray with us. We've been talking about prayer on the Grace Hour, great prayer warriors throughout Christian history that have seen the effects of prayer in their life transform not just their world, but transform beyond the world that they live in. Having said that, today we're looking at George Mueller. Pastor Belli, your thoughts about George Mueller?
George Mueller. They write books. I was reading.
They have.
Yeah, they have. I'm reading a couple of books on George Mueller, and I was writing some things down, and I think I could run out of the paper.
Oh, wow.
Writing things down about George Mueller. And I want to just, first of all, start with a verse that I found in one of his simple two-word verse. I guess the two words is about the limit to a verse, right? I mean, one word wouldn't be a verse, really.
No. Nope.
But two words, pray without ceasing. First Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And that would mean, you know, continual mental prayer, a verbal prayer, whatever it may be, but it's giving us a real initiation. First of all, I said rejoice evermore. I call this portion of scripture in 1 Thessalonians like some of these two or three word real initiations.
You know?
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks and everything. Quench not the spirit. All kinds of things said here as he's speaking to the church in Thessaloniki, which was under tremendous attack a number of times. So pray without ceasing. Continuous prayer to God himself. And as I was thinking about that verse and thinking about the life of George Mueller, a number of things were said as I studied about him last night and looking into some of the aspects of his personal life. Number one, he was a God-made man. And he was a man, let's put it this way, he was a man who God made. You know that Jesus said in Luke 5:10, when he met Peter and James and John, I will make you. Fishers of men, I will give you a quality of life that will be the source of your calling and your purpose. So he was a man that God made, man that God made. He wasn't a self-made man. He wasn't a world-made man. He wasn't a denominational-made man. He was a man who God made. Number two, he was a man of financial miracles, which was incredible. A man of financial miracles. And when I looked at that, I was thinking about this. And in 105 years of the ministry of George Mueller, not just George Mueller's life, he was 73, but the kind of override of his ministry, they had given away 15,037,346 pounds, which is about $25 million. At that particular time, that was given away by George Mueller. That means he received it and he gave it away, not just to orphans only, but he was very instrumental in missions.
Yes.
So he was a man that never asked for anything, was a miracle of finances. He would not ask for himself, and he would not ask for souls in need. He would just pray to God that God would be in provision. Number three, he's a man who lived with the eternal purpose. These are things that are said about him. A man who lived with an eternal viewpoint or an eternal purpose. Number four, he was a man of God's glory. His sole intent was to bring glory to God. Number five, he was a man of God who had faith in God alone. God alone. Of course, he had fellowship with other people, and he trusted God and other people, but he was a man of God who had faith in God alone. And next, he was a man who received from God alone. It's really quite incredible about his life. And he said this, don't try to bind God by limits of your own faith. Hmm. Don't try to bind God by the limits of your own faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he really was a man who knew who God was and that God was absolutely able. Mm. So you can see, as far as the orphans are concerned and the ministry is concerned, he did so much to help thousands of orphans. It was thousands mm-hmm. of orphans that he helped. And he was a man of the Bible, mm-hmm. a man of the word, and a man of prayer. He's an Acts 6:4 man.
Mm-hmm.
They gave themselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. And then you see the results of that in Acts chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, that men of God grew, the churches increased, and the gospel was preached. So instead of him, and he asked this question to himself at times, what will God do with a man fully consecrated to him?
Hmm.
What will God do with a man fully consecrated to him? When he was 16 years old, he was put in jail because he was a thief. Can you imagine? Then he had an amazing conversion, and he really just dared to believe God, that God would, and he said this, God would and could supply all of his needs,
mm-hmm.
his personal needs and the needs of the orphans and the needs of the ministry.
Mm.
So there's a little bit of a thought pattern we can begin the program on with in regards to George Mueller, and maybe the subject is Prayer Week.
Yep.
And what it means to pray, and really simply believe God. You pray and you believe God. And we can look at a number of portions of Scripture. If you look at the book of Acts, concentrate on Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6, and Acts 12.
Mm-hmm.
2, 4, 6, and 12. You're going to see incredible prayers that were prayed. 241 through 47, chapter 4, 31 through 36, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, all of chapter 12 when the mm-hmm. church was praying. So you can see the importance of prayer. And I think we get an example. I'm sure George Mueller mentioned this a number of times, an example from the John 17 prayer
yes.
of Jesus Christ himself. Now listen to this prayer. 17 times in John 17, 17 times the word given, gave, or grace is used.
Okay.
17 times given, gave, or grace. 17 times, 17 or 18 times, depending upon the translation, the word world is used.
Okay.
17 times. And 8 times the word glory is used. Hmm. So simply to me, it means I've been given grace to deliver me from the world so God will be glorified.
Hmm.
I've been given grace. So I receive grace to pray,
mm-hmm.
and I am delivered from the world, and I glorify God. And what is the world? Let's bring back a little bit of a definition on the world. We certainly know grace is God's fullness and God's glory, God's attributes and God's character.
Mm-hmm.
But the world, the word cosmos, and Satan is called cosmocrator, the word world, cosmos, means that which is alien from
mm-hmm.
and that which is opposed to the things of God. That's the world system. We're not talking about the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nations and whatnot. We're talking about the system of the world, which is very clearly said in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, that simply watch out for the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan's the god of this world.
Yes.
And so very important for us to understand that. So in prayer, in regards to grace, 17 times in John 17, the world 17 or 18 times, and God's glory 8 times. And by the way, this is also a tremendous portion of Scripture on unity.
Mm-hmm.
So without grace and without glorifying God, and if I'm connected into the world or the world has a hold on me, am I really understanding what unity is about? And John 17, in the prayer, Jesus is asking for unity. We know that there's unity with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then can there be unity with Israel and the Father, Son, and Spirit? Can there be unity with the church, Father, Son, and Spirit? Can there be unity in my personal life, in my relationships with the Father, Son, and the Spirit? So there's a unity. And it says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. Endeavor, spoudazo, means making every effort. And obviously that's an effort and ability that comes from God to keep this unity. And so prayer really is a great principle of unity.
Mm.
Now, on the other hand, darkness has unity. Okay, There's the devil, there's demons, there's the world, there's the old sin nature, and there's religion. They have unity. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. It's an evil unity, but there's a unity. The devil, demons, the world, the old sin nature, religion, and even the nations you can throw in there.
Okay.
Oneness with the enemy. So my prayer is, for my own life, my prayer is for churches, my prayer is for Christians, that we would be men and women and churches of grace, which will deliver us from the world and glorify God. Mm. This is really the key to that prayer. So he prayed without ceasing. He prayed without ceasing. It was really quite an amazing testimony. So with that, let's go on with the program.
I find it interesting with George Mueller that a lot of his ministry has nothing to do with what he's most famous for.
Right.
He's most famous for 5 orphanage houses, dealing in a lifetime of helping over 100,000 to 150,000 kids. He's known for the orphanages, and everyone talks about his faith in prayer in the orphans, his faith in prayer for the orphans. And most of the stories you hear about George Mueller, they are about miraculous things that God does. Like, I believe there was an orphan with one of the orphan houses had the 500 or 700 kids in it, and they had no food.
The truck breaking down?
Yeah, and he just prayed. And a bread truck broke down, and they dropped all of the bread. They brought all the bread in because they couldn't just let it sit, so they gave that to them. And then a milk truck broke down at the same time and also fed. So he was this incredible confidence in God through prayer. Like, there's another story. He was crossing a channel, and it was full of fog. And he's riding in a boat, and the captain says, "We can't take the boat across because this is the fog. It's dangerous. We can't see all the other ships." And he said, "Well, I have an appointment, and my God is not limited by fog, so I'm going to go pray. So I'm going to go down to the steam room and pray." And the captain kind of felt convicted. "Okay, I'll go with you." And George Mueller was kind of a no-nonsense guy. He says, "Well, you're not praying because you believe it's going to happen. You're just praying because out of some religious commitment, so you can stop praying." He actually asked him to stop. "I'm going to pray." He prayed, and the captain went upstairs and came back down and said, "The fog has lifted." He said, "Yes, I expected it to." Pretty much, God, I expected God to do it.
Yeah.
George Mueller was a guy of tremendous faith, and he lived it through his prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, Pastor Shabelli, that we always think faith is exercised through choices that we make and activities that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ever think like my faith could actually fuel my prayer life, and that my prayer life could fuel my faith. But George kind of got that together. There's one story that talks about when he was in college. He wanted to be a missionary. And his father found out that he wanted to be a missionary. His father said, "I'm cutting your support. I'm cutting your college tuition. I'm not funding you anymore," because he thought it was silly. George Mueller fell on his knees and asked God to support him. Moments later, a professor knocked on his door within the hour and offered Mueller a paid tutoring job, which paid for his Bible college.
Incredible answers.
And at that moment, he realized that when I have needs and I have challenges, before I begin to plan, and all of us do that, we like crisis planning. Something happens, let's sit down, let's talk about it, let's think about what are the ways and solutions I can fix my problem or someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And George's go-to was always first prayer. There's fog on the lake, prayer. There's something just got canceled, prayer. There's no bread, there's no milk money, prayer. This is a great week to challenge myself, prayer week. Mm-hmm. Is prayer my first option?
Right.
Is it my first option? Or is it an option? Whatever your first option is, we call that a different word, priority.
Mm.
What you do first is your priority. It's your personal priority. As a believer, is prayer my personal priority, or is it just a good option? Because with George Mueller, when you study his life, one of his takeaways was prayer was his priority. It was his first option.
Personal priority.
And he actually gave away in his lifetime. Do you know he traveled to close to 47 countries over a 14, 15 year period. And he gave away a quarter of a million Bibles. He was a preacher and teacher of the gospel. Right. He was a Bible. He did more than just orphans, but what he's known for. But underneath everything, and he loved to memorize scripture. He loved that. But underneath everything he did, his personal priority was prayer.
And I think it's so key, because you look at Acts chapter 6, and they gave themselves continually. The word proskaterero means It was just constantly something that was taking place to the ministry of the word, not just the word,
okay,
not just the studying the word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it says the ministry of the word. That means you've got, they're going to study it and then they're going to preach it.
Excellent.
They're going to teach it, the ministry of the word and prayer. And then you see the results. You see the results. And sometimes when we pray, we don't see the results we think we would want to see.
Exactly.
I mean, hello, maybe your desire or certain results are really not God's plan. And we're praying and we're thinking, I'm going to pray and then this is going to happen. You never know what's going to take place at all. You could be praying for something and then God will bring it another way.
Okay.
He can bring it another way. Like we're praying for church service or something like that. We're praying for the church services and then something takes place in the country or in life, and maybe you can't even get to church. So now God's got you in a place where you're going to read the Bible and pray at home, whatever. So what are the results of prayer? And are they something that we think about in a temporal, natural way?
Right.
Or is God going to do something supernatural? With George Mueller, it was always a supernatural response.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I remember for years, I think from 1983, 84, and 85, I was praying about going to Italy as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serious prayer and meeting with people and praying and gathering a team to pray. And then one day, a pastor says to me, "Did you ever pray about Africa?" I said, "Nope." He said, "Would you pray about Africa?" I said, "Nope." He said,
"Nice and clean.
Would you pray about praying for Africa?"
There you go. He still kept coming.
He just kept coming. And that's where I ended up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer, there was a song that used to be sung in our church years ago, "Till the answer comes, you got to keep praying."
Yes.
You got to keep praying. You got to keep praying till the answer comes.
Mm-hmm.
We had that on music. We don't have any music here.
We are the music. Come
we
on.
We are
now.
The music.
I write the songs.
So you write the songs and I do the singing.
That's right. It.
So really, this whole idea of prayer is so key. What happens when you're surrounded by 135,000 Assyrians?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? Like you're thinking to yourself, what plan do we have? Do we surrender to the Assyrians? Do we fight the Assyrians? Do we run away? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And they came to the conclusion and they brought the situation to Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm.
And King Hezekiah said, "I'm bringing this to Isaiah, mm-hmm. the prophet." Then Isaiah, the prophet, said, "I'm bringing it to God."
Wow.
See, I like how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, here's my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you bring it to somebody important in your life, like a king, or it could be anybody, whatever. Then that person brings it to the pastor, and then the pastor brings it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's only God's going to be able to do that. And in one night, 135,000 enemies were missing. God sent one angel on his lunch break and took care of 185,000 Assyrians. One angel did that, okay? That just shows you the power of prayer.
Yes.
Imagine we have angels that are waiting to do the will of God and help us in our situations. And that's quite incredible. So we're told pray without ceasing.
Yes.
And this is what Mueller did. And this is what sometimes we look at that, we get very intimidated by that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What does that mean? My God, I can't even spend 5 minutes in prayer without losing my thinking power. By the way, I believe it's important to pray with an open Bible.
Okay.
Because sometimes the mind can very easily wander off into even good things, but they're not God.
Okay.
So I pray with an open Bible. And when I find distractions or projections or reflections from my old sin nature, I go to the Bible
and I read
something in the Bible and it redirects my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that prayer, they gave themselves continuously to the ministry of the word and prayer. I really believe it's important to have an open Bible in my prayer life. This is very important and very key. And I must remember, I'm praying to a God was all sufficient.
Okay.
Like I can look at impossible situations and say, how can this person change?
Mm.
How can this person change? What will take place in this person's life, you know? And it's only through praying for people.
Okay.
There was a particular person, I remember him many, 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 many years ago in the, should I say the 60s? Wow. That's a long way off, isn't it?
That's
60s and early 70s.
60 some years, yeah. Yes, pushing 70.
I got saved in 1976.
Okay.
And I remember it was two or three particular friends of mine that were from the same family.
Okay.
And they were real tough characters, you know?
Of course.
And I prayed. I prayed, and One of them totally rejected Christ.
Okay.
Two of them got saved.
Wow.
John and Nikki, they both got saved. Mm-hmm. They were both born again. One of them even married a great Christian who listens to this show.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. You know, and it was really prayer. Sometimes you would go and talk to those two people, and boy, the response you would get wouldn't be anything that would be very comfortable to be around, you know?
Are you suggesting uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable. But, you know, prayer did something.
Oh, wow.
Prayer changed a person's life, and a person became very involved in a group of people that were looking to God mm-hmm. later on. So what could do it? I mean, it was even talking wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. Talking to God, okay? Prayer is talking to God about people.
Right.
Witnessing, evangelism is talking to people about God. By the way, those are the two things that are missing in Christianity today mm. that are like on the downturn. Mm-hmm. Praying to God about people and ministering God to people. Mm-hmm. Evangelism and prayer.
Yeah.
Those are two things that you can find in churches around the world today where these two things, there's not an emphasis on them.
Yeah.
There's not an emphasis on them. Talking to God about people and talking to people about God. Really, really interesting, isn't it? Those two things seemed, the talking's gone.
Yeah.
What are they doing? People talking to each other. Well, I know, I mean, we need to build people up, of course.
But in this current era, we like to talk electronically.
Yeah.
So most of our conversations are electronic.
We're doing it right now, right?
Case in point. So it's like the face-to-face conversations, or even indirectly, in other words, instead of praying to God, if there was a way that you could talk to God electronically, most of us would be talking to God electronically.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you actually make it personal, intimate, like you get that in George Mueller's life. Like right. He didn't just pray. We always hear the magnanimous things he prayed for. When you study his life, he believed in praying for everything.
Little things.
Yeah. Insignificant things he would commit to prayer. And he would pray for these things for years.
Mm-hmm.
He would commit to years for these things. I think Wesley talks about four guys he grew up with. And he prayed for their salvation, and all but one of them got saved before he died, and that one got saved after he died.
Wow.
But it's like this continual prayer. And I like what you said. He did mix faith in scripture and faith in his prayer. An active prayer life, a consistent prayer life, the Bible's got to be in the middle of that.
Exactly.
Because the promises that you're asking for in prayer are found in the Word, and if you're not mm-hmm. in the Word, you're not rehearsed in the promises.
And you're just praying about maybe your own specific needs and desires that you have.
Sure.
But are they God's desires? By the way, I read that Wesley, at the end of his life, the only thing he left was a coat and two teaspoons. That at the end of his life, that's all. He had nothing materialistic at all.
Wow.
A coat and two teaspoons, you know. Probably he had the clothes to be buried in and whatnot, but he gave a lot away too.
Well, that's the mark of these men of God. When George Mueller married, I think it's his first wife, Mary. Her brother, which would be his brother-in-law, had this idea of what it meant to be a faith missionary. It was mm-hmm. sell all your possessions, give all your money to the poor, and live a simple life. So they did that. George Mueller and his wife, they lived like that. They gave it away. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, money that was given to him for his own personal use.
Right, right.
He gave $700,000 away.
Mm-hmm.
He actually kept very little, if at all, for himself. He didn't pray for himself. He pretty much went to God for issues concerning other people. He was not a money guy at all, yet he's known for being charitable. Let me rephrase that. He's known for receiving charity, but when you study his life, he was extremely big as a giver.
Right.
Isn't that how it always is? The guys who can at least afford to give the most. Isn't that how it usually is?
Yeah.
I would love to say it's the millionaires that do it all the time. There's some that do. But for the most part, it's the guy who's got the two jobs or the part-time job, and they kind of live by faith and they're giving in faith and say, okay, I'm going to get involved in the work of God. And prayer goes with it. We said that the other day, that mm-hmm. when I give and I'm praying, I'm casting a faith, I'm vision casting for what I believe God will do. And George Mueller did that. He understood what I'm sowing into is the ministry as a faith missionary. I'm sowing in total reliance on God, faith in the scriptures, praying for everything, being persistent in prayer. But like you said, I like what you said, aligned with God's will.
Right.
You didn't see it's not reckless praying, and it's not random praying, but it's aligning to God's will. Because when I'm reckless and random in James 4:3, I pray amiss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God can hear me, but my prayers are not going to change God's will. God said, okay, I have a plan, but mm-hmm. since you prayed, I'm going to change my plan. That's not, I mean, you can quote certain scriptures in the Bible that talk about where God did something different, but he did that different knowing in advance what you were going to pray.
He bought a lot of Bibles, too. I mm-hmm. read a figure of something like 499 mm-hmm. pounds he spent on Bibles that he bought That's and incredible. Gave away. He gave away Bibles and tracts. 68,963 tracks. I don't know who keeps track of all these figures, but it was in his little biography that I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so he was involved. He was a prayer warrior. He was a soul winner. He visited countries. I can't remember how many countries I read that he went to.
42.
That's mm-hmm. amazing. He traveled to 42 countries. So you can see he had missions in his mind.
Yes, traveling missions, speaking. Yeah. Yep.
So he was a man of the. Of the word, a mm-hmm. man of prayer, and a man of the gospel.
Yes.
Isn't that really what is lacking today in a lot of places? A mm-hmm. man of the word, mm-hmm. a man of prayer, mm-hmm. and a man of the gospel.
Mm.
This is really what I see as a problem. And it could be a problem not only in our own personal lives, but in churches,
mm-hmm.
Is the emphasis on God's word, God's prayer, and the gospel.
Mm.
This is word, God speaking to me. Prayer, me speaking to God, gospel, me speaking to people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Three relationships there that are, I think, very key and whatnot. So how important that is. And George Mueller, a great example. And this is what our young people need to, not just some of us old folks.
Sure. Okay?
But young people really taking a look at the lives of people like this and really studying that and saying, you know, I want to just follow in those footsteps, you know.
Yes.
Follow certainly in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but follow in the footsteps of men of God and women of God who walked with God, you know. Mm-hmm. Mary Susser was another great prayer person,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
who evangelized Nigeria
sure.
when no men would go.
Yep.
She went when no men would go.
Amy Carmichael,
yeah.
We talked about a few weeks ago, Streams in the Desert. What was her name? I'm just forgetting it right now. But anyway, we talked about her a few weeks ago. But I also like the fact that in his walk, in his particular ministry, it all began with prayer for him.
Yes.
And I think if you're a young person listening to the program, that's a great way to, they're talking about restructuring your Christianity, rebuilding your faith, taking apart your faith and seeing what's real. The realness begins with prayer. Begin with prayer. If you want to start have cultivate spirituality in your life, and maybe the reading the Bible is daunting, pray while you read the Bible. Incorporate prayer in all the things that you incorporate in your life and your schedule. Okay, I want to share my faith. Incorporate prayer into that. How about praying with people? Maybe I don't know the verses. I don't have the confidence to talk to someone. I can pray for and pray with people. We have this outreach that we do in Owings Mills called Prayer Station. Mm-hmm. And two times a week, sometimes three, we meet in different areas in Owings Mills, and we just have a table and a chair and a sign that says free prayer. And people drive up and they pull up and they pray with us.
Free prayer, huh?
Free prayer. And they just say, can we pray with you? There's no like aggression. There's no like, I want you to sign this membership form. You should pay this fee. We just pray with people. And surprisingly, folks have come to church, gotten saved. All that has happened through just the initiation of prayer.
Are you doing this now in this cold weather?
Even in this cold weather, we're doing
it. Okay, so I gotta learn from that and take a step on Saturdays and go back to my old, that was my years ago, remember?
Yeah,
the table, the Bibles, the books.
That's it.
And whatnot.
Bring it back out.
We gotta go back to
revival.
That. Bring it back. Revival.
Come on now.
The prayer table, the Word of God table. The God, we'll call it the Word, Prayer, and Gospel table. There we go. How'd you like to eat at that table?
Wow.
Right?
He prepares a table for my enemy. So there you go.
Yeah, in the wilderness.
And in the wilderness, no less. But I love that idea that he was, as he always would say, God would provide. And in his mind, he believed it was him and God. Like he never solicited money from people. That's amazing about George Mueller. He didn't ask people for money.
Right.
He would just pray.
Yeah.
He would just pray. And God would bring people in. There's nothing wrong with that, but his orphanage just began. He didn't solicit money from people. People just brought in donations in kind, bent forks, cups, spoons, plates.
Everything.
They just brought things in, and then he had his first orphanage house, and he had 30 girls in his first house. Then he opened a second and a third house, and then that went well. Then things got bad for 7 years. And then, I mean, literally in that, most of those stories you hear about the milk truck, the bread truck, was in those hard 7 years. It was like things were not good. Then suddenly, they got a new location, they added two more houses, it got bigger. Meanwhile, George didn't change. He was still a man of prayer, but he began to take that show on the road. That's why he starts running through 42 different countries, preaching the gospel, giving out Bibles. He had this idea with an orphan. So interesting. He had this idea with an orphan. He called it a true orphan. That means mom and dad are not there. He said, mom and dad are not there. You also had to, you would never be turned away because of your poverty or because of your race, and that we would educate you and train you for a trade.
That's great.
And then what he would do is when they would be old enough to go out, he put money in their right one, in their one hand, and he'd take their other hand and pray for them. They would leave with a bit of money and prayer. Every orphan that left his place, but they had a trade, they had education, they had the gospel, and they had George.
Well, this is incredible what one man can do. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm thankful that in some very small measure, we have 416 orphans in our Children of Grace ministry right now. And it began with seven, and it's growing.
Always small.
It began small. I remember the first seven that came.
Yeah.
My wife said, this is what we're going to do. Let's just believe God.
Amen.
And that was years ago. Mm-hmm. That was probably 30 years ago, we began this, and we have 416 orphans in a number of countries right now. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, I'm praying, I ask God for 1,000. I want 1,000 orphans, okay? Wow. Double it, you know, double portion. 1,000 orphans, and where would the money come from? I don't know. I don't ask for money. I think we have a website, but on the website, it doesn't ask for money.
Yeah.
I'm looking at who God is and what George Mueller did and saying, why not?
Yeah.
Why can't that happen? And these orphanages, by the way, all of our Greater Grace orphans are in a Greater Grace church and a Greater Grace Christian school. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is so key. And then maybe they could be with individuals that are in that church, or there could be a place where there was 10 of them. We have some places like with Pastor Agbamathle.
Sure.
He's got 12 orphans that stays with him in his house, and a little orphanage house and stuff like that. So pray. And if you want to help with orphans, you are very welcome. I don't know if I should be doing that, but I just did it. So if you want to help with orphans, may God bless you. It's a ministry, I think, that is so key and so important. And they're all over Africa. I'm sure they're everywhere.
That's what George did. He was really hired. He was in a seaport town, hired to work as a pastor and as a minister in a small church, about 4 hours away from London. And he noticed all of these kids back then, if you weren't poor and you were orphaned, family members would take care of you. But if there was no one to take care of you, you went to work. It was factory workers. You had 8-year-olds working in factories. You had kids working in factories. So they're literally working. And George Mueller's watching kids that should be in school at a factory in coal and blurring chemicals. And he said, we have to get, and then he said, what we do for the poor orphans? He said, because they have nowhere to go and nowhere to do it. And the ones who couldn't find a job were on the streets, and the streets were full of orphans. So it's like you said, you and Linda, he just looked and said, what can we do?
Yeah.
What can we do?
And what can God do?
Amen.
Yeah, that's the key, really. What can God do? And am I available to God? And Mueller was a man totally surrendered to God.
Yes.
And God help us to come to a place and grow in life. But this is so key. We have Richard Robero, and I love him. He's a great man of God. And he's watching from Oman with Pastor Mati. And he says, what a joy to see all of us. So it's great. And he's another great man of faith from India to Oman. And you can imagine what that's like. And
only prayer can get you there, I can tell
only
you.
Only prayer can get you there, right? And like, let's take this to another level, too. It's actually not another level, but like sometimes praying about small things. Like I lost a red pen that drove me crazy, and I finally prayed.
Oh my gosh.
I found the red pen, you know, and my granddaughter had taken it and put it somewhere with her stuff, you know?
Wow.
So you can pray
I love the verb taken.
Yeah, taken. And we can pray about little things, too. Yeah. Sometimes we think, these big Mueller pray these big prayers and give me hundreds and thousands of orphans. But it could be something very simple. Mm-hmm. It could be, God, help me not to think this way.
Okay.
Help me, God, to make right decisions. Mm. Help me, God, in my relationship with my wife, in my with my husband, woman can pray that prayer. Help me in church. Help me to give. Mm-hmm. Help me to minister to people, Christ. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me, whatever it may be, you know, health-wise. It could be anything health-wise, you know. So it doesn't have to be these, sometimes we think, these are massive, big answers to prayer. It could be something very small. Don't despise Zechariah 4:10, the day of small things, something small. We love the prayer of Isaiah,
right?
In 35 and 36 of Isaiah, but the simple prayer of the coin in the fish's mouth.
Yes. You know,
all of a sudden, like, how do we pay the temple tax? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "Just wait a minute," you know. And they pulled in a fish. It's a fish has got a coin in his mouth, you know. And it could be just something very simple. How do I pay my taxes this year? Could be, you know, what takes place. What am I going to do? You know, about God, help me. Is going out in cold weather, per se, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be these what we call these massive, gigantic mountains, but it could be some very little things. And sometimes those very little things are what really stops a person in their walk with God. It could be something very small, you know. And we pray, and God brings in the answer to the prayer in little things. God, I'm late, but, you know, I prayed this one time. I'm late, but the vehicle I'm supposed to take, pray that you would make it late. Like I'm late, make the vehicle late, and the vehicle was late. You know,
my irresponsibility.
Yeah, I mean, it can be something very small.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it can be something very small, but it's not small to God.
Yeah,
it may be something big, and God can show Himself strong on my behalf.
Yes,
in these very small and little things. God, I pray, help me. Help me to have more joy. Mm-hmm. I pray for my friendships and relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I pray. I want this to happen. I want this to be a spiritual situation, you know? So it isn't always these massive things where we need thousands of pounds and thousands of dollars for orphans or ministry or a church building or whatever.
Sure.
You know, I prayed for, it's like church buildings many times, but God always ends up putting me under, palm tree branches and with poles and a lot of blowing dust. And you know, you've been in Africa and some of those things that happen, and you pray a certain prayer and God says, "Well, I'm going to answer it this way, you know, and I'm going to cause you to grow." See, how about like this prayer? God, help me to grow. Mm-hmm. Help me to be spiritual as a Christian, you know, and instead of praying for things that I think I need, what I need is God. Yeah, I need God.
That's the consistency of George Mueller. That's also the verse that you quoted, to pray without ceasing. And it's not so much the perfection of always doing it, but here's a different word. It's the lifestyle.
Yes.
Prayer was George Mueller's lifestyle. And that's a great capstone on the week. The major takeaway from George Mueller is that as he gave Bibles away, as he gave money away, as he took care of orphans, prayer was his lifestyle. We can glean three things from that. We can glean, number one, that when it's your lifestyle, there's no prayer that's great or small.
Right.
No, in other words, if this is what I do, there's no great prayer like, "Oh, this is so big," or "There's no too small." Secondly, when it's your lifestyle, it's your personal priority. Mm-hmm. It's like the priority. It's not an option to pray. I don't have to think, should I pray? Now is a good time to pray. I actually pursue something when it's my personal priority. And then number three, in crisis, it's my go-to. Mm-hmm. You want to know who you are? When your crisis comes, what's your go-to? Who do you go to and what is your go-to? That's who you are in your crisis. Mm-hmm. So when you pray without ceasing, like he mentioned in the beginning of the program, George Mueller encapsulates that with a lifestyle. He had a lifestyle of prayer, total reliance on God, persistence in prayer, aligned with God's will, without manipulation, not trying to manipulate God in prayer, but focusing on a genuine relationship with God through prayer. So it's been a great week on prayer. Here's a suggestion for you, spiritually speaking. Today, it's Friday. Why not come down to 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, take a class with Pastor Shibeli at 6:30.
Well, we're going to have, yes, a class and prayer.
I'm coming.
Okay.
And then after that class, from 8 to 10, we have prayer led by the Bible school staff, well, actually Bible school students, the student council. And that's a great Friday evening for you. Come down and spend Friday evening with us here. We'd also like to have you check us out at our services on Sunday at 9, 11, and 6:30, and also Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you there. It's great, been great talking to you today on The Grace Hour. Please make sure you subscribe to our show on YouTube and Apple and Google Podcasts. We'd love to talk to you next week. We'll see you then from all the team here at Grace Hour.
And we have a 1 o'clock prayer meeting today.
And there's one today, actually. This is prayer week today from 1 to 3 at the church. Come on down and pray with us.
Amen.
See you soon.